Let's take our Bibles, if you have brought it with you, and we'll open to Psalm 100. I don't know if anyone can guess why I chose Psalm 100. Well, the correct answer is because it's only five verses. That's the correct answer. And it's a psalm that we probably know by heart, but the truths that it expresses are something that we need to consider and keep before us. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now the NIV renders it this way: shout for joy to the Lord. Hallelujah. So some of us just make noise, and some of us just shout, and some of us sing. I don't know what category you're in, but as long as it's to the Lord, we're making a joyful noise to the Lord. We're worshiping the Lord. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And the call here is to come joyfully before our God. A brother last night reminded us that as Christians we ought to be more joyful. Do you agree with that? Could we exhibit more of the joy of the Lord? I think so. I can say that to myself. I need to be more joyful in my God. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Greatly rejoice. And when we think of what God has done for us, each one of us, his goodness, his love, his forgiveness, his great salvation, it's a cause of thanksgiving and great joy. I think joy ought to mark a child of God. What do you think? Yes? Yes. And so, Lord, help us to have the joy of the Lord and to express that in song. Song. There's a verse in the New Testament about being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit. And there the expression is what? We sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. There's a joyful overflow of that Spirit of God within you. And it expresses itself in songs, singing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Praise God. And so we want to continue to sing unto our God joyfully. And it's so wonderful to hear you praise the Lord and to just sing with all your heart. Just put all that is within you into that song. Verse 2, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. And then down to verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Now, did we do that tonight? I think we did. I trust we did. Did you come and were you reminded of God's goodness? We prayed and we thank God for his faithfulness this season. We thank God for his faithfulness over the 80 years of Pilgrim Camp. God, we're thankful for this place. We're thankful that you put it in the heart of your people to establish this camp and to keep it holiness unto the Lord. Why is that important? Because as we endeavor to walk before God in holiness, he's promised to put his presence here. And so, Lord, help us to be faithful to our trust. You have entrusted this to us. Our brother Paul mentioned that, you know, it's years ago that people prayed. And yes, we pray today, but people prayed years ago for this place. And God heard those prayers and has answered and kept this place. Holiness unto the Lord. And I'm sure we can do better. But by God's grace, Lord, we want to walk before you in a way that pleases you. And so we're thankful for Pilgrim Camp. We've entered into his gates this evening with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Hallelujah. You know, the name, when it refers to his name, it really could be his fame, so to speak. What is God known for? When we speak of his name, it speaks of his character and what he has done and what he does for us. And so we bless his name. But I wanted us to see that there are two verses in this psalm that really are the foundation for why we are called to come with thanksgiving, why we're called to bless his name, why we're called to enter with joyful singing. In verse 3, it says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." I think that's so important for us to see, to get the proper perspective. You know, our praise is not, we don't worship idols of stone, or we don't worship man-made things, but we're tempted maybe inadvertently to worship things that we see and things that we desire, and the perspective is wrong. We're supposed to worship a God who made us. Do you know that he is God? Did you know that you are not God? That's what I want to say. Do you know that he's God and that you're not God? And that's so important. Sometimes we come and we tell God what to do, what he needs to do. Well, maybe it would be better if we would just worship and just bow down and kneel before the Lord our Maker. Amen. Just come in that humility and say, "Lord, I don't know. You made me. You're the great creator. You can fix this situation. And so I'm just going to worship and bow down." You need to recognize that he is God. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. You know, the philosophy of the world is we're gods. We choose for ourselves. We establish truth. We make the rules. And we've put aside the Bible, and we've put aside the God who not only made us, but the God who saved us. The great creator, I think I quoted this already, became my Savior. And all God's fullness dwelleth in him. Hallelujah. That's the God we worship. The God who loved us enough not to abandon us to ourselves. Have you ever wondered where you'd be if God had left you to yourself and to your own ways and your own will? But he has not abandoned us. He says we're his. We're his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. He owns us. He says, "You're mine." Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Do you know him as your shepherd? Do you know him as the good shepherd? Have you come to hear his voice? This is reason for praise. He sought me out. That one lost sheep, he came and he saved me. Thank you, Jesus. And then the last verse. For the Lord is good. This is why we praise him. For the Lord is good. You know, at home I like to say, "God is good." And then you say, "All the time." And all the time, "God is good. God is good. God is good. Beloved, he's good." Oh, Jesus, all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. Even when I'm not faithful, you're faithful. The Lord is good, and his mercy, his love, is everlasting. And that love reaches down and picks up the lost the fallen, the sinner. That love put Jesus on the cross to save us. And that love is everlasting. For God so loved the world. That's such a small little word, so, but it's so big. For God so loved the world that he gave. And so his mercy, his love, is everlasting, and his truth or faithfulness endures to all generations. And I think for many of us, Pilgrim Camp is a generational place. You understand what I mean by that? You know, I was here when I was, I was still being carried in my mother's arms. I don't remember that, but they tell me that. And my daughter here, Audrey, I had to repeat that, so I think she was 2 weeks old when I brought her and her mother to camp. And I said it this earlier this week, I don't know if Denise has ever forgiven me for that. But we had such a love for camp, and we came. But I mean, it's passed on. It's a generational thing. And we've seen the faithfulness of God from generation to generation to generation to generation. God is faithful, beloved. God is faithful to himself, to his word, to his promises. You know, we sing that in that song, Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And I had to think about that. And I think first and foremost, he's faithful to his word. It's not so much he's faithful to me, but he's faithful to his word. And as I lay hold upon that word, as I lay hold upon those promises, then he becomes faithful to me. And I can choose to maybe ignore that faithfulness or not lay hold of the provisions that God has given to us. But when I do, why then I see the faithfulness of God in my life, in the life of my children. And we ought to believe that this will continue from generation to generation. Why not? Why not? Can we believe for God to continue his work in our children and in our children's children? Is not that his promise? That the blessing will continue from generation to generation? You know, I've always been interested in how, if you read through the account of the kings in the Old Testament, how many times does it say, for my servant David's sake? How many times did he want to judge them and bring an end to that dynasty, that king? But for my servant David's sake. You see, that life had influence, not only while they were living, but it continued. God remembered the faithfulness of David. God remembered his promises to David. And I believe God is remembering his promises to his people and blessing us in this place. Not only in this place, but in our churches. Why are the doors still open? It's the faithfulness of God. It's not my faithfulness. It's not your faithfulness. It's the faithfulness of God. He remembers his people. He remembers the promises that he made. He remembers the prayers that were prayed. And we too are called to do the same thing, right? Just as we find those who have gone before to have been faithful, well, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. And so what influence does your life have on future generations? What impact are we making on the future of Pilgrim Camp? His faithfulness endures from generation to generation. And my response to that is, we want to praise him. We want to thank him. But we also want to take grace and say, Lord, make us faithful. Make us those who know our God, who worship him in spirit and in truth, who serve him with joyful hearts. Amen? Amen. Amen. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And so in these days that we're together, let's really come and give ourselves in worship. Let's come joyfully. Let's come with thanksgiving. Let's see what God will do. No grumbling and complaining, all right? Amen? Amen. No grumbling and complaining. Amen. I didn't get amens over here. I got them over here.